Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Everyone's here is super smiling. This message of unconditional love was in the air for super smiling. Here to save the day.
Kindness is the way.
Woof and super smiles. Welcome to a super smiley adventure on Pet Life Radio, the largest pet radio network in the world. I'm Megan Blake, the pet lifestyle coach, here with my sidekick, Super Smiley, the national spokesdog for the American Humane Association Hero Dog Awards. On a Super Smiley adventure, we explore adventures where animals lead. They can be journeys for animal advocacy, for adventure, and they almost always lead to paths of inner discovery and greater bonding with our pets. And our guest today has led a life of adventure, advocacy, and of inner discovery. Lewis Gossett Jr. is a true icon and light in the world, having starred in groundbreaking projects like Roots, some of the most popular and acclaimed television series like Boardwalk Empire and Touched by an Angel. He began his career on the path as a game changer opposite Sidney Poitier in the classic film A Raisin in the Sun. He's played the voice of God, and he's won an Academy Award for his so-focused role as Drill Sergeant Emil Foley in An Officer and a Gentleman. Please welcome Lewis Gossett Jr. to a Super Smiley Adventure. Hi, Lou.
Fine. And as I say in my best voice,
I love that, Lou, and Smiley likes that too. You might hear Smiley and Angel. They are playing in the background here. So, Lou, first of all, thank you so much for joining us today, and congratulations on your amazing body of work.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm very blessed.
Yes, yes, yes. We all are so blessed in this life that we have here. And we all want to know about your sweet, sweet dogs in your life. But first I have to ask, can you describe what it was like when you actually walked up on stage to accept your Academy Award?
I had no idea it was going to happen. I used some of my experience, and over to my right was the great Robert Preston.
Yes.
And over to my left in front of me was James Mason in the front
row.
And then there was those two shoe-ins, as far as I'm concerned. So I had made an adjustment. I'm so grateful to be in the top five. So my mind went there. My agent hit me in the chest and said, they called your name. I looked around and they did. So it took me a while to get up to the stage. I had nothing prepared. So I spoke from my heart. I guess it was okay.
Oh, Lou, it was beautiful. And I actually watched the clip of when they called your name. And you're right. You do look very stunned. Then you had this beautiful, your charismatic smile and your speech. It just seemed like it came right from your heart. And in your speech, you mentioned your spirit guides who had helped you, meaning your great grandmother and your parents.
You gotta trust.
Yes. And your great grandmother was quite an influence on you, wasn't she? Tell us a little bit about her.
Well, she, after the slaves were freed, all kinds of Bibles and stuff and records of births and deaths and marriages and stuff get in the Bible. And her birth and death was not registered in the Bible. And she remembers kind of the day that the slaves were freed in Georgia, and she lost a finger in a wagon.
So she figured,
that's where she lost half a finger. This is the Exodus from the south to the north, and all the stuff was in the Bible but hers, and she was responsible as the matriarch of the family to raise all the children when anybody, like the butler and the help.
Yes.
They had their jobs. They did their jobs very well, and they brought all the money home, and everybody sat around the table, and we had the poor people's food that turned out to be quite delicious, like chicken feet and gizzards, and it was delicious. And then the turkey, and she was in charge of the whole thing. Her and her daughters, who were my grandparents and her, she was the master. So she didn't know how to write or read, but she saved our lives with her home remedies. And so when we had too much of a whooping cough or polio, she did something, and she sits on my shoulder.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
She must have been 110, 111.
Over 100 years old, 110 or 11 when she passed. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And in your book, An Actor and a Gentleman, you talk about all the great wisdom that she imparted to you. And she said that it's the journey, right? It's all about the journey.
It's not the destination, because the destination, all of our heads, it seems impossible. It's overwhelming.
But right.
We're asked to go on the journey, face in the right direction. And that's the area where miracles happen.
I love that. Face in the right direction. That's where the miracles happen. And just walk in the right direction, and you're going the right way, right? I love that.
Put your face toward the sun.
I love that. And Lou, Super Smiley, as I just mentioned, he's right here beside me. He wants to hear all about your sweet dogs, Sarge and Bella. But we're going to do that right after this break. Smiley, can you wait?
You got it.
Good boy.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Everyone here is super smiley. This message of unconditional love.
We're back on a super smiley adventure with Academy Award winner Louis Gossett Jr. Lou, you and I first met at the Catholics and Media Awards, where you were given the Lifetime Achievement Award. Now, many people in life, we work towards wisdom and towards becoming more compassionate. But each time I've been with you, to me, you seem to simply actually embody wisdom and compassion.
Well, you can't talk about something that you don't have yourself.
There you go. The wisdom and compassion, was that part of a learning process? Or was it more innate?
A learning process from great-grandmama.
Well, tell us a little bit more. Tell us something else that she shared with you. Give us one of her lessons.
Well, one of the things she said, when I was 17 and I was starring on Broadway, I was taking care of my mother and my grandmother, taking care of their rent, and I thought I was the best thing since chop suey.
Okay.
She told me quietly, she said, God was there before you got here. He's going to be here while you're here, and he's going to be here a long time after you're gone, so you may as well calm on down. Another rent thing. So when I remembered everything was all right, when I forgot, I got into trouble.
That is so perfect. I love that. So I guess she did collect a lot of wisdom in her very long-lived life and brought a lot of history with her. And Lou, in my life, I'm surrounded by animals. I have my horses. They live with me. My dogs are here and cats. And I believe that animals also can be healers and teachers. So tell us about your little sweetie, Sergeant Belly. Tell us. Bella.
There's a thing that I learned. I've always had an animal of some sort. Mm-hmm. And so never too much time. If an animal, most of my animals, if they weren't killed by a car or a hawk or a coyote, they lived full life. Most of them lived a full life with me. Dogs, 17, 18, 19 years long. But what happens is when we have these animals, we assume the responsibility of taking care of them. They come to them full selves. And it's the thing that's international that I have to remind people who have never been poor, who never had the initial lessons of it's what you give, it's not what you get. So you wake up in the morning, you've got to feed your dogs, you've got to hold your cats, you walk your dogs, make sure they're all right after they're fed. You love them unconditionally. When they get sick, you take them to the doctor, and we start in the habit of doing something for somebody else.
I love that.
It's a natural duty. And when that happens, they come to this particular place where they teach you back, give you moments of joy and moments of gratitude, and their love is unconditional.
I love that. And I agree that we give to them, but then they also give back and we teach them, meaning we train them, but they teach us right.
They do.
They actually do. They're happy. A trained dog is a happy dog, but also they teach us right back. Have Sarge and Bella, have they taught you anything? These two, first, tell everybody about your little dogs. I saw their pictures.
Well,
they are.
Sarge was the first one. He's a rescue.
Okay.
And I was looking at this, this combination, Husky Malamute. All brown, three or four different colors of brown, and he got shoulder level in a cage, and he started licking my fingers, and I had made the decision. It was him, and I kept getting this little tug on my pants. And looked down, and here's this little guy, and he's half a miniature Doberman and Chihuahua. And his look is a combination of Yoda and Don Knotts. So I said, you'll see, you'll giggle again.
He's adorable.
And then he was lonely, so I found another rescue. Came into the office, and it was a she, and she gave birth to six puppies, and she was only 6 months old. So the puppies were taken care of, and I took care of her. Her name is Bella.
And they are the same age.
Inseparable. And they're looking at me right now.
Oh, I love that. Well, then they're on our show, too. And Smiley and Angel here, they want to send out a doggy kiss to Sarge and Bella, too. So let's do that. And has Sarge and Bella, have they taught you anything specific, these two dogs?
Oh, well, they teach you about unconditional love.
Right.
Unconditional. That should be infectious to when people are together.
Right.
Governors are together. Countries are together. Unconditional respect for one another. So it's not about me, it's about them. And then they make their entire lives about me.
That's and the they do. Off. The dogs do make their entire lives about their people. I always see them as they have a pureness of spirit that teaches purely. And in your book, you mentioned, I think your grandmother mentioned this actually, the education before the education, when you're preparing to go to school. And to me, with the animals, they're almost like that education before the education. Because
how should I act? What are my limitations? What are my disciplines? How far can I get? What can I do? And then they find out that there's certain things they can't do because there's certain consequences when they do it, and they stop.
Exactly.
And it starts with pottying in their house. No, you go in the backyard. Eventually, if the door is closed, they ask you to open the door so they can go in the backyard and do right.
That's right. They tell you what to do.
Same thing with our children.
Yes, tell us about that. Tell us about the education before the education.
There's the education that my great-grandmother and my mother and my aunts and all teach us before we go out the door because we have to represent the family. Proper dress code. Mm-hmm. Respect for the elder and then respect for the opposite sex, hygiene, physical fitness, spirituality. You have to believe in God. You have to know upon whose shoulders you stand, and you have to represent that when you go out the door. The foundation is to create a center called the Shamba Center.
Yes.
Where all these children of all ages and of all nationalities come in with cleverly prepared lessons from some of our brightest minds on how they need one another, both in sports and in actions and videos and speeches, so that they learn how to rely on one another. So by the time they get to school, that racism problem is not there. They haven't carried the negatives on. They've only carried positives.
So I love that. Well, yes.
If they get old enough to vote, the issues they vote about are a little bit more compassionate. Stuff that they're fighting about today, like everybody should be able to go to a doctor whether they can afford it or not.
Mm-hmm.
There should not be anything like a homeless veteran.
Yes.
Everybody should have clothes, a shelter, and food. If this is America, and we read the stuff that they've written about us being one nation under God, certain things should have nothing to do with money. Better care of ourselves and one another.
Right, and I love that you're reaching out to kids. You're creating the Shamba Centers to do this, and I love that you say it's all emphasizing the positive. And Lou, let me share with you that Smiley has a kindness program with inner city kids. Smiley's my dog, about the values that, yes, and it's about the values that animals can teach, like kindness and respect. And his film, Kindness, a Super Smiley Dogumentary, just screened in Malibu the day before your book signing.
Oh,
and
that's
fantastic. Yeah. Yes, yes. So next time we have a screening.
It teaches patience.
Yes.
Unconditional love.
Yes.
And it teaches what happens when you're nice to them.
Yes, and respect. And it's amazing what these little children, a lot of the kids, when Smiley and I worked with them, they're inner city kids. So a lot of the large dogs they see are actually fighting dogs, or they're trained to be protection dogs, junkyard dogs, so to speak. And they had never even been around a large dog that was kind like Smiley. So it really was an education for them in kindness and in respect and in reading the animal's energy and then sharing that. And I love what you're doing as well. Yes.
Well, so they pick up. The first thing they pick up has got to be our kindness.
Right.
We pass our poisons on to them, then we have another generation of misunderstanding.
Absolutely. And another thing I also say is that I've observed is animals show us how to connect on a deep level with them, so they remind us to connect with ourselves, to go back inside ourselves and see. Would you agree with that?
I agree with 100%. We started on this planet with a connection of the insects, the animals, and the people all around. We were together on that thing, and we interrupted that cycle, from insects, animals, and people. We've interrupted it, and the world is recoiling because of it.
Right.
We don't think in those terms, but that's what it is. And then we've messed up our fresh air, and that's part of the cycle we've got to put back in place. We have to buy water out of a bottle.
Right.
The fish, this is the balance of the fish in the ocean is gone, so we have to buy fish from fish farms. And the weather, the storms are getting pretty large and pretty incredible. And only our being together can save it.
Right. And going back into balance, I think that's a word.
Putting everything back into its proper natural ecological balance.
Yes, yes. I love that. And for me, animals teach living in the present and to be a part of that balance and emotionally connected. So when I do go out into the world, I feel like I prepared just simply by being with my horses, with my dogs. Do your dogs?
Absolutely.
Yeah, tell us about that with your dogs. Do they help ground you and balance you in a way?
When I need a little friendship and a little love, they're the first ones.
Absolutely.
When they come in the house, they're the first ones there.
Oh, I love that.
Even if they're in pain. My last dog was a 135-pound black lab, but he lived 18 years.
That's
and
long.
He was a guy, and it was on location. And he held on until I got home.
Now, I love
that.
And they do know. No, they're very, very sensitive. They do know. And Lou, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we want to hear more about your book, The Great Success of the Boardwalk Empire, a racism, too. Smiley, can you wait? Good boy.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand only from Pet Life Radio.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Frances Fisher, and you are on a super smiley adventure.
Everyone here is super smiley. This message of unconditional love.
And we're back on a super smiley adventure with the amazing, iconic Louis Gossett Jr. Lou, we just were talking about your work with the children, and I love the name you created for your foundation, Eracism. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, those are old day things that are stuck in our DNA, and it's not black and white. It's everything. Automatic assumption that they are better off than somebody else, and they call the shots.
Okay.
We've come to the edge of the end of that era, and some people accept it because of their sensitivity with animals and stuff, mm-hmm. and other people are having a hard time with it because that's the way they were taught and raised for generations.
Yes.
And so the people who are in charge are used to only that. That's the only thing they were taught. And the other people who are under the gun, the people in charge, that's the only way they know how to act. So, under school, I get these young kids to know that there are different natural rules. And when you see a kid's eyes open and look at another kid, because they would have to be taught that separation. But when you see a kid in any kind of meeting or any kind of a game, and it's happening in our sports now, where there's a connection and everything
right.
goes out the window, it's a wonderful connection. And then it's never over.
Right. That's very interesting the way you were just talking about prejudice. And please correct me if I restate this wrong. But I think you were saying that prejudice is something that is actually taught, that we come into the world as a clean slate.
It's taught, and now here recently is in our DNA.
Ah, interesting. Well, I have a very dear friend who works with the dogs in prison, in the prison programs in Florida, and he uses this wonderful example. He will look at a person and say, you're a man, so you're prejudiced. You're, you know, this, so you're prejudiced. You're a woman, so you're prejudiced, because it's a way of looking at the world. But he says, when you look at this dog sitting here, this dog isn't prejudiced. He just sees, are you my person? Do you feed me? Do I trust you? Do I learn to respect you? And so that's another way, again, I keep coming back to the animals because they are such great role models when you open your eyes to this. Yes, they don't see the prejudice. They see a human being.
Not in their DNA.
Exactly.
They weren't taught. If you teach a dog how to be a killer, then he'll be a killer because he thinks that's where he gets his love from.
Exactly.
So those of us who are sensitive to that, our animals are not like that at all.
Right.
Except you got to watch out for Sarge, though. He's a womanizer.
Well, I've got to tell you.
A woman comes to the house and he's right on the lap, and if he had an accent, it would be French.
That's so funny. Well, Smiley is right there, too. Smiley's kind of a charmer and a flirt as well. So
baby, welcome to my home. I know that's how he would speak.
I think we have our hands full with our doggies here. I totally, I'm with you. That's so cute. And Lou, Boardwalk Empire just wrapped, and it's been getting major critical acclaim, and you've been getting so much acclaim for that as well. First of all, congratulations on that. And tell us about working on that set. What an amazing project.
That's the best of television.
Yeah.
The very best of art. And they pay attention and they make it perfect. And so it was a blessing to do it. If there's a way of me coming back to life, they'll figure it out. Because they didn't get a love scene. So I figured they thought about that in advance. Since there was no death scene, maybe all of a sudden at the beginning of next year, I'd be sequestered somewhere recovering.
Yes, let's hope that happens. Because some
of the critics have said that's what should happen, but it's from their mouth to God's ears. I'm very grateful for the experience, and I want another job.
Absolutely, and we want to see you there. We want to see you there, absolutely. And in your book is so aptly titled. I love the title, An Actor and a Gentleman, and I read every single word. I want to recommend this to all of our listeners. It's a beautiful and intimate journey right along with you in your life. First of all, thank you, Lou, for sharing you with the world through your book. And
I don't mention names of anybody who did anything bad, but they were there. And I listened, and I made the decisions to go with them, and they were not the right place to go. But I feel that I was pretty kind.
You were. I loved it. It shared lessons. It is walking with you through your journey, but the way you shared it is that we can take it in and sort of learn from your journey as well. Was that part of your thinking? And in your book,
that's the place where the miracles are, because I'm still here.
That's right. There you go. And speaking of being still here, in your book, you actually mention a few near-death experiences.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And they tell us about that. Tell our listeners. Share our listeners.
Well, I got caught. Because of some of the things that happened, I didn't know it, but I called it the Jackie Robinson syndrome, where you can't mess up, you can't speak against the injustices happening to you.
Uh-huh.
And, I inherited high blood pressure and cancer, and my body was breaking down. A vital organ from vital organ. And I looked at the hospital one day after having a semi-stroke, and the doctors had their backs turned, shaking their heads. And I got consciousness, and I remember, it might have been my mind or whatever it was, I heard a voice saying, "Go back. It's not your turn."
That's amazing.
So what I did was a systematic, almost 2 years now, of finding friendly doctors, holistic ones.
Yes.
But some of our medicine is one of the fights that our president had. There should be no one in this country, indeed really this world, but in this country, where cannot go to a doctor or a dentist because they don't have any money.
Right.
And doctors are active. There's nurses and doctors and specialists who agree to that. So I finally found a couple. They looked at me, and it was very ironic that each one of them came from a different country.
Really? That is interesting.
Yeah.
That's very...
So they wanted to know what was wrong with me. Why was I going downhill? They didn't see on the surface, but they were treating each individual thing instead of looking and seeing what's going on. Part of it, obviously, was attitude, but they found in an MRI machine, at 15 different angles, so they could look at it. They found a slow drip. Some place, maybe in the old days when I was playing sports or whatever it was, drip that made my immune system all the way down, where I would be the first one to get a cold, the first one to get cancer, the first one to get out. And that's how my body had no defense. So this was about a year ago. They put me on a table. They gave me 6 hours of intravenous iron.
Wow. Wow.
They put a stent to stop the leak and gave me 6 hours of intravenous blood. And all of a sudden, I felt like I had never felt since I was a child.
Wow, Lou, and you are looking so good. Whenever I see you, you just radiate life force. You radiate energy. Yeah. You look so amazing. We're so glad that you're here, and that the voice did say it's not your time. You're going to come back.
That's right. No idea that I'd feel this good. I've taken off 50 pounds in about a year.
You look so good, Lou, and with the near death experience. I mean, I don't even know how you could do more. You're so busy. And I know that yesterday you were actually down in L.A. working with Feeding the Homeless. I mean, you completely give back. Tell us more about what you're doing.
Well, 15,000 people, the minimum. So this is the largest collection. Doing it again tomorrow with the mission. But now it's a lesson. It's called a program of example.
I like that.
So I show up, and it starts from the inside out, and I'm going to be close to those homeless people and put a spoon on a plate and a fork on a plate and say, "Happy Thanksgiving."
Oh, I love
what
that.
What I get out of that is maybe, I don't know what God has in store, but he kept me alive so that I could be in that position.
That's right.
So him bringing me back from death, I am not here on my time.
Right. I know what that means. I understand you. And
just
you're
like animals. Yeah.
Yes, I love that. We're talking about what you're talking about now, it seems to me, is a purpose in life. And one of your thoughts in your book is you actually say, "How can I be of service?" And that is, of course, basically
selfless service.
And
it's a natural way to be.
Yes, and that would be so great for all the people, all of us, to embrace that. But I believe also, as you just mentioned, that animals in our lives also serve a great purpose. They comfort us, they love us, they help heal us. Yes. So you believe that pets also can have a purpose in life, right?
Absolutely. They teach us. Back in the day when we were tribes, and I use primitive advisingly. For our survival, and when, as soon as you were able to get up and walk, you had something to do. You
had
to go to gather the eggs, and that was for the benefit of the whole tribe.
I hear you, yes.
As you got older, then you had to tend to the cattle or you plant the food. And you got older, then you reap the food, and the women had to do certain things. You had to build stuff for our protection against weather and stuff. And the better we do that, the stronger the entire tribe became. That sounds kind of like democracy to me.
It does. It absolutely does to me. And
but there's nobody to say, "What do I get out of this?"
Right, because it's helping everyone. Everyone's
so what
helping
you help
everyone.
Is you help the whole. You make your contribution to the whole. Yeah. And that's the natural way to go.
I love that. And that's exactly the way you're living your life. And Lou Smiley and I just presented the Inspiration Award at the Hero Dog Awards. It was posthumously given to Farrah Fawcett. And the hero dogs who were there had saved lives as war dogs, service dogs, search and rescue dogs, and in so many ways. And I know that if we look deeply into our own dog's eyes, we will see our own personal hero dog or cat or bunny. Yeah. And I know my dogs are my heroes. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I agree with that. I tell a very cute story.
Okay, tell us.
A man comes past the pet shop, and it says on his thing, says, a talking dog, $5.
Okay.
So he goes inside, he says, you have a talking dog here? He says, yes, he's in the backyard. So he goes in the backyard, and he says, are you a talking dog? And the dog says, I most certainly am. He says, well, tell me about yourself. He says, when I was a real puppy, I had to sniff out missing items in the house. And then later on, when the war started, I had to sniff out for the troops, you know, where the dynamite was. And then when I came out of war, I worked for the police, so I could sniff out the drugs and stuff. But now I'm in retirement. The guy says, he goes back to the owner, says, why is that dog only $5? The man says, because the dog is a liar.
That is so funny. That is so funny. But you know, oh my gosh, that is so funny. And I love that, but I have to tell you,
all
he does is talk. He just brags. That is so funny. But it does feel like when I'm with my animals, it's like I can feel what they're saying. They're so communicative. It's crazy. It's crazy. And Lou, you are such an amazing inspiration. I want to thank you so much for sharing your light with the world and for joining us today on A Super Smiley Adventure. I read your entire book and I feel like I could just, I mean, I know I could just talk to you for hours, but we're very respectful of your time and thank you. Thank you so much.
And God bless you. And
God bless you. And would you please give Sarge and Bella a big kiss from Super Smiley and me and from all of our listeners and from Pet Life Radio. Thank you again to Mr. Lou Gossett Jr. from all of us here on Pet Life Radio. Until next time, woof and super smiles. Bye, Lou. Thank you.
Bye-bye, honey.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand only on PetLifeRadio.com.